I want to read this chapter this morning, 2 Thessalonians chapter number 2. Tremendous thoughts here. We're going to be speaking this morning about the Antichrist, but you cannot speak about the Antichrist without speaking of the Christ who defeats him. Amen? I mean, we look at the man of sin, we also got to look at the man of righteousness who saved us from sin and who has the ultimate victory. Amen? I told folks in Sunday school, things are going to get worse in America, but don't worry about it because you still have God. He's not getting worse. He's just getting gooder and gooder. And where's my English teacher at? She's out there having a fit. All right. Let's read here this morning. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together in Him, that ye be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means. For that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first, and that the man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God, or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Remember ye not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things. And now ye know what withholdeth, that he might be revealed in his time. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let, until he be taken out of the way. And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth, whereunto he called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, brethren, stand fast, and hold the traditions which ye have been taught, whether by word or our epistle. Now our Lord Jesus Christ Himself, and God, even our Father, which hath loved us and hath given us everlasting consolation and good hope through grace, comfort your hearts and establish you in every good word and work. Let's go, Lord, in prayer. Father, thank you today. We have the blessed privilege to read this portion of your Scripture. Thank you that you gave it to us. Thank you that you have preserved it through the years and that we can have in our hands, we can hold it, we can read it. But more importantly, Lord, it's your Holy Spirit. Spirit of God, that you want to cause this to go deep within our soul. Teach us from it. Oh, Spirit of God, come upon us. Come down today and work that which only you can work in our hearts. Oh, God, today, may this be the beginning of new life for someone in this group. May it be a day of beginnings, of sanctification, of living that life that is wholly set apart unto you. God, may it be a day that we unite our hearts one with another in seeking after your blessed presence and your glory. Bless work, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Please go ahead and be seated. I believe to do this chapter justice, we would need at least 2 or 3 hours, so we're going to do that. And we're going to look at this same chapter in the hour following, going at it a little bit differently. But I trust this morning, as we look here in this blessed Word of God, that God might just get a hold of your heart and allow something wondrous to take place. Only God can do that. Amen? It's not by the power of the preaching, but it is by the it is by the power of preaching that the Spirit of God moves in hearts. And so we trust today that He would empower that into your heart and cause the testimony of this preacher, these words, to enter into your life and be that which will bring about some significant change. As we look at this chapter, we find that as He beseeches them, as He calls them together, He is asking them not to be shaken. Not to be shaken by the things that are about to come. He tells them, first of all, hey, the Lord Jesus Christ is coming again. Do you believe that today? I believe He's coming very soon. Matter of fact, I believe that as we look at the horizon, as we look at these verses this morning, understand that before He comes, there is one who is coming on the scene. He's called here the man of sin. We call Him the Antichrist, that will reveal Himself, I believe, in not many days hence. I believe our world's ready for such a person. I believe today folks are really ready to sell out. I believe they are willing today to give themselves wholeheartedly to somebody who will promise to them that they will have pleasures evermore. I mean, serious. I mean, you have men today who are willing to go and to blow themselves up that they might go to a place where they will have pleasures forevermore. We find that there are people in America who are willing to sell themselves out that they might have pleasures. And so as this man comes on the scene and promises all of these things, listen, he's going to come on and he's going to say, hey, I'm going to bring tremendous change. We found out in the last election, all you got to do is promise people change from what they have. You don't have to tell them what is, but you can promise and they will say, yes, we want something like that. We need some changes. By the way, that's true. We need some changes. Everybody needs some changes. But what we fail to recognize is exactly what kind of changes that we need in our lives. And so we find here in this chapter that He's saying, hey, there is one coming, the Lord Jesus Christ. But understand, before He comes, there is another who is coming. And He says to them, don't get shook up about it. Don't let it bother you because there are evil things taking place. Don't let it get to you because it seems like the wrong crowd is winning. Don't let it bug you. Jesus is going to come and take care of it all. He's going to do that. You know, Christians get upset so easily sometimes. I mean, somebody comes along with a dream and says, oh, or they have some kind of pretended spiritual revelation that's outside the Word of God. And, oh, really? Hey, we got to stick with the Word. Amen? I mean, sometimes somebody just says something. I remember years ago, as I was working truck line, as we started the church here, there was one guy. I mean, he was nasty. He would go to somebody in the trailer next to him. There was about 40, 50 guys. We were loading and unloading trucks. And so you would come out of your trailer from time to time. You'd see a guy. You'd say a few words to him. And this guy would walk up and he would say to the guy next to him, do you know they're going to be laying off about 6 people here in the next couple of days? No, really? Who's it going to be? And he said, oh, man, it's going to be bad. There's going to be some heads rolling. And then he would just go back into his trailer. And the guy next, oh my goodness, my job is in jeopardy. I wonder what's going to happen. And the guy next, hey, did you hear there's going to be 6 folks? They're going to get laid off this next week. And it's going to be, boy, we are in jeopardy. And the guy, he hear that and he go next, hey, did you hear there are 16 people going to be laid off next week. And pretty soon, it would get all the way back. And the whole company was shutting down. And somebody would come up next to him and tell him, and I could hear him wherever he was at. He'd begin rolling in laughter at what had taken place throughout the day. But listen, honestly and sincerely, you and I as God's people too often allow word of mouth to upset us and to scare us. We look at writings that aren't true. And we'll see something that is written, we get all upset. Hey, listen, thus saith the Lord is what we ought to really be excited about. The book of 1 John tells us in chapter 4, a test we ought to do. It says, beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they're of God. Because many false prophets are gone into the world. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. Understand something. You can tell every false statement and every false religion as to how they look at Jesus. What they believe about Him. You can discover whether it be true or not. And so we find oftentimes we get all shook up about these things. But he says, let no man deceive you, verse number 3, by any means. Understand, there is the man of sin that is going to come upon this scene. And he says that day shall not come except there come a falling away first. There is going to be a huge falling away of those who profess Christianity, those who are in whatever religion it might be, but they're going to fall away under the teachings of this man. Now, it's easy to understand because we look through the Word of God, we find that there are some things true about this man. One of the things we find in the book of Daniel is he is a genius. He has an intellect that is basically unmatchable. Daniel 8:23 says, in the latter time of their kingdom, when the transgressors are come to the full, a king of fierce countenance and understanding dark sentences shall stand up. He is going to be one who understands not only this world, but the occultic world as well. And he will possess powers that are just out of this world, quite frankly. He will be powerful in oratory. It says that he will come in peaceably and obtain the kingdom by flatteries. He uses a tongue to be able to draw people unto himself. He promises them things that can never, ever take place. And yet they will believe him. He will be a financial wizard. It says he shall have power over the treasures of gold and silver and over the precious things of Egypt and the Libyans, and the Ethiopians shall be at his steps. The book of Revelation says, and no man might buy or sell save he that had the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name, referring to this Antichrist. He is a religious wizard. Notice verse 4 of the text, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he, as God, sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. And the world will wonder after him. But may I tell you something? The story doesn't end there. Though that is what is coming on the scene, and we are right for it throughout the entire world, we find that this man of sin will be destroyed. We find that the Lord Jesus Christ is the ultimate victor. For as we read the next 6-7 verses, in verses 6 down to verse number 12, we find that he will be destroyed with his followers. Notice verse 6 with me for a moment, because notice it says, now he know what withholdeth that he might be revealed in his time. It's an interesting verse. He says there's something that's restraining him from taking over right now. There is something that's keeping him from that, and it's withholding him. I believe that restraining power over the spirit of anarchy is none other than the Spirit of God who dwells in the believers. You and I are said from the Word of God to be salt. The problem is we may have lost our savor. Now, I don't believe that when you and I are taken out of this world at the rapture, that the Spirit of God leaves. For we find that He works during the tribulation period, but He is no longer in the bodies of believers. And there's no longer those people who are restraining the evil that is there. You say, what are you talking about, preacher? I believe the next event on the calendar of God's events is the rapture of the saints. I believe the next thing that we're going to hear is the sound of the trumpet. I believe that there's going to be the sound of the trumpet and the shout. And you and I who know the Lord Jesus Christ are going to be taken bodily, I mean physically, spiritually, emotionally. I mean, we're going to be taken completely into the very presence of God. You say you've gone out of your mind. No, you're out of your mind if you don't believe that. Because Jesus promised me that He was going to take me up. If you go back into the previous book in chapter 4, you're going to find him speaking of that very thing. All the chapters of Thessalonians, in all eight of those chapters, it is reference to the second coming of Christ. And the second coming of Christ is in two parts. The first part, he comes to the clouds and he calls God's people out. We refer to it the rapture. It's not a Bible word, but it's a Bible truth. And we are taken into the presence of God, there to be with Him for eternity. Immediately following that is the time when this man of sin is on the scene, comes into power. We call it a tribulation. During this time, God brings literally hell upon earth. And horrible, horrible things begin to take place. Though during the first portion of it, it seems as though this man has everything put together. But then God takes over. Over one half of the population of the world will be destroyed during those 7 years of tribulation. And then Jesus will come back to the earth. When He comes back to the earth, we find that He comes riding a white horse. We find that there's a sword that comes out of His mouth. It's not a sword like you and I will draw from the side of our armor, but it is a sword of His tongue. It's a sword of His Word. And as He comes back to this world, the armies are gathered from all around the world. And we find they're over 200 million strong in the Valley of Megiddo. And it's called the Battle of Armageddon. You no doubt have heard of that. And in that great battle, as you and I, by the way, I believe come with Him, He will do the fighting and He will slay them with a sword from His mouth. It is the same power of our God who could speak and bring the worlds into existence. It's the same sword, that Word of God that can enter into our hearts and change our souls from hell to heaven. It's that same sword that on that day will bring destruction to those who said, "We don't want God." It is that God. It is that Jesus who is going to return in that day. At this moment, that all is being restrained because you and I are here. And when you and I are gone, I believe that is referenced then as what it says there. Verse number 7 says, "The mystery of iniquity doth already work, only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of His mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of His coming, even him whose coming is after the working of" who? "Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders." And I want you to notice, not only will Satan be destroyed, but those who follow after him. Verse number 10. "And with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie." You see, there's a truth that we need to understand from God's Word. God has spoken this beautiful Word we call the Bible. If we will not receive it as the Word of God, God allows something to take place in our hearts. And sometimes He calls it being hardened. For when we reject His Word, delusion comes upon us, and now we are able to believe a lie. Let me give you for instance. God says that in 6 days He created the heavens and the earth and everything that is here. He tells us exactly what He made on each day. As He brought forth the grasses and the trees, as God spoke and the animals were created, those in the sea and those in the air and those upon land, as God took the dust of the earth and drew it up into His hands, I know not how, but He formed man of the dust of the earth, and then He breathed in him the breath of life. Don't let anybody ever tell you that you're nothing but an animal. If you believe that, you have rejected what God has said, and you've been deluded and deceived. You say, but preacher, scientists tell us that that isn't the way that it happened and everything evolved. I challenge you to prove it. Let me give you something about scientific experimentation. Scientific experimentation is accomplished by an individual who observes something taking place and he makes his conclusions based upon what he has observed. He writes it down and those later can read that and they can understand, hey, this is truth. April, I know who was here when this earth was created. And he wrote it down and it's called the Book of Genesis. You say, well, it's different than what all these people believe. They've been deluded. You say, but this earth is millions of years of age. It's only because you want to see it that way that you'll believe it that way. There are far many proofs, too many proofs, that show it cannot be more than 10,000 years. Do you realize and understand that whenever an evolutionist and a creationist get together in a debate, the evolutionist always, always, always loses? He cannot. Why? Because falsehood cannot win over truth. It's not my intent to get into all that today, but I'd use it as an illustration. And the illustration is simply this. If we will not accept what God says in that book, we can be deceived and deluded by anything. You say, you take that book literally? I mean, you believe everything in it? Well, I just kind of happen to believe what's on the cover of mine. You let it order you around? Yeah, what do you let order you around? You see, I believe that God has the truth for me. And that truth can set me free. And these who accept the devil's life, whatever it might be, will be damned with him. But all thank God. When we believe the truth of God, there is tremendous security in Him. Notice with me verse 13. It says, but we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. You see, what God does is He takes the truth of the Word of God, He gives it to us, and if we will take that and believe it, if we believe it about Jesus, we believe it about creation, I mean, we believe about everything, we believe the truth. God says that He will save us and sanctify us. Say, sanctify? Yeah. Make us like Himself. Make us like Himself. You say, holy? Yeah, that's what God wants to do in our life. That we might experience the fruits of righteousness rather than the wages of sin and the ravages that it does to our lives. Verse 14, whereunto He called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, brethren, stand fast. Hold the tradition which ye have been taught, whether by word or epistle. Now our Lord Jesus Christ Himself, and God, even our Father, which hath loved us and hath given us everlasting consolation and good hope through grace, comfort your hearts and establish you in every good word and work. There's security. Let me tell you this. This is not brag, but I know where I'm going. I know where I'm going. Oh, did I tell you? I know what I'm doing before I get there. I'm going to pick on Dan and Vicki a moment. They both work in the business world.
Most of your associates, they have any idea what's going on.
Mickey's all the time coming to me and says, "Oh boy, what a bunch of nitwits I work with."
Oh, you never use that word. What words have you used? I'm trying to remember. I've heard idiots too before. Yeah. Okay.
Don't know what they're doing.
And that's the, really, that's where the world's at. I know where I'm going. See, how do you know that? Because Jesus Christ came to this world. He died upon a cross. And He said, "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." He didn't say might be, could be. He said shall be. It's all dependent upon one thing, and it is my trust in Him. When I was 19 years of age, 44 years ago, I'll be 45 next February, is exactly what took place. I put my trust in Him. I'm a child of the 60s. How many are children of the 60s? A few of you here. You remember one of the phrases? I'm trying to find myself. How many remember that? Okay. Trying to find myself. They went to Woodstock trying to find themselves. They joined communes and rode around in school buses. Painted really strange colors. Trying to find themselves. They're your bank presidents today, but that was what they were trying to do back then. <laughs> 1966, God found me. And He saved my soul and He changed my life. And planted my feet, Virginia, upon a solid rock. I know where I'm going. It has nothing to do with what I've done since. It's not bragging on anything I've done. It's who I received. It's what He did for me. And He gave me a calling. So this is what I want you to do. So that's what I've been doing. Most of my friends that I had way back in high school, they're retiring. Many of them have been retired. Been drawing these pension checks, sitting around doing nothing, twiddling their thumbs, planting daisies, and some of them pushing them up from the wrong side. By the way, nothing wrong with retirement. There is something wrong with it if you retire from God. I just plan on keep on. My good friend, Brother Kenny Bloom, has ALS. The last year he preached in his church, pastored the church for 39 years. The people of the church, they got together and they bought a little lift so he could come in with his wheelchair, you know, just drive on that thing, push another button, lift him up. He could run over to the pulpit. When he retired, he could still struggle out of his wheelchair, stand behind the pulpit and preach. He wanted to go 40, but he says, "I don't think I have the physical strength to do it." I talked to him 2 weeks ago. He still preaches when he can. He's learned how to blog, and every day, I can give you his site. You can go to it. He writes articles. And many people read those every day. Become a real blessing to, really, a lot of pastors and wives. And though now he can barely get out of bed, he said, "I can still get off my wheelchair and get onto the toilet." He says, "All I can do." But his mind's still there. And through the wonderful invention of the internet, he's able to connect with people and still be in what God's called him to do. We don't retire. God called us to do. Amen. So I know where I'm going, and I know what I'm doing, what He wants me to do. God gives a glorious life. That's what God wants to do to every person that will put their trust in Him. Say, preacher, there's some things in that Bible that are outlandish. Yeah, I know. There was a donkey that talked to a man one time. Excuse me. Talk without this. I've known a few donkeys that talk. I know there was a guy walked on water one time. He said, yeah, but I read that he sank. Did you also read that he got back up again? He walked back to the boat. You believe that stuff that Jesus took some loaves of bread and fish and fed 5,000 men? Yep, I do. I just happen to believe that stuff. Because I have a God who's powerful. What kind of God do you have? Is He a wimp? Mine's not. Mine is going to destroy the devil. And I'm on the winning side. I have never in my life played to lose. I understand little leagues that play and don't keep score. What is wrong with this world? So, well, somebody's going to lose. Yeah, he's called the devil and his crown. We need to learn that. Amen? What side are you on? What you do with Jesus and what you believe makes all the difference. Let me rephrase that. Who you believe makes all the difference. Father, today, work in hearts. Lord, I'm so glad. I'm so glad today that though there is this one who seems to be the anointed one, this one who is coming on the scene that will deceive the entire world, that I have a Savior that is mightier than He. I have a God who is in control of it all and a God who is truthful. And I'm so thankful today that through the truth I have been set free from sin's payment. It was paid for upon the cross of Calvary by my blessed Savior. Lord, no doubt in this room there's someone who needs You. Work in their heart. May it be a day of salvation. Lord, for Your people, we might recognize we are not on the losing side. Oh God, we not be all downcast and depressed because of the conditions of this world, but we might know that it means that our redemption draweth nigh. It means the trumpet is about to sound, the shout is about to go up. We are about to explode into the very presence of God. Oh God, today, work in our hearts. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to ask you to stand.